we are going to be talking about asthma. Asthma deaths in Northern Ireland have hit a 12-year high. Teachers say that they need more support to help children cope with the life-threatening condition, especially as we come into hay fever season. More than 180,000 people suffer from the condition here in Northern Ireland alone, and that's according to the Northern Ireland Statistical Research Agency. And according to the latest figures available, asthma has killed 44 people here. That was in 2015, the highest figure for more than a decade. I'm joined now by the Deputy General Secretary of the Ulster Teachers Union, Jackie White. Jackie, a very good morning to you.
Good morning.
This is it's an awful condition for people who are affected by it, but teachers really do struggle to cope as well with children who have been affected by asthma, don't they?
Well, absolutely. As you've already referred to, we've very high numbers of people in Northern Ireland who suffer two different degrees from asthma. And whenever you look at the statistics and it suggests that up to 1 in 10 people in Northern Ireland have some level of the condition, you could be talking about a classroom of 30 children with potentially 3 of your children who suffer in different ways. So, of course, it's something which is very concerning and something that teachers feel that they don't know enough about, because it's something which can impact on children very quickly and sometimes with the worst of outcomes.
And how do you get teachers to be more knowledgeable? Is not just exactly the word, but being able to deal with it. How do you teach them these different ways of dealing with asthma? Because as you say, there are so many different areas in the illness.
Well, I think we have to focus on the fact that as in so many areas of education at the minute, there isn't enough training. Teachers do need to be trained, because even in primary schools where children do tend to be with a class teacher, there is still a certain amount of movement. And in post-primary schools, children move about all the time. So it's not sufficient, as happens at the moment in certain areas in Northern Ireland, where the only person who is trained, for example, if a child may have such a reaction that they need an EpiPen, for example, that the only person who is trained at the moment is the person who is the class teacher. We need to widen that training out. We need to have all teachers who potentially will be in contact with the child, which, according to the statistics, is likely to be all of them. We need all of them trained. But one of the things we also need to do is to really send the message out to parents to keep the school fully informed, not just about the fact that the child has asthma, because, of course, parents do tend to tell us that, and then to tell us, you know, the child has inhalers and his or her school bag or whatever if they're needed. But what we need to know are triggers. We need to know if your child is more impacted at this time of year. You were referring to the fact of hay fever and pollen count and so on. Is the child more impacted if you take them, for example, to playing fields to play football, or you take them to outdoor activities? Is there more likely to be an impact there? Because all of that information is coming back to parents from asthma clinics and from GPs, and we need to make sure that we're on top of that to know which children, which times of the year or in which situations are more likely to be impacted. Because it's a case then of keeping an extra eye, if you like, and knowing that child is more likely to have an attack at that time than maybe at another time.
Because I know personally when I was diagnosed just a few years ago of having a mild form of asthma, and it's brought on by stressful situations or whenever I get run down. And school can be very stressful for kids, and I know that can impact on a lot of them as well, and that can trigger something.
Absolutely, and it's a much more difficult thing to contain stress at school than it is to contain environmental factors, for example. But it is having that awareness. But what it is having strategies in place so that teachers feel that as soon as something happens, they know exactly what it is that they're supposed to be doing. And we need to know which children are using which medication and so on. Now, where we're coming from is that teachers most clearly are not medical practitioners. And there isn't any onus on teachers to actually administer medicine or you know, act in the way of a medical practitioner. But having said that, when you're talking about potentially life and death situations, you're not coming across teachers who are saying, I don't want to be involved. But they are not medical practitioners. And what they do need to know is, what do I do, first point of contact, in order to ensure that this child gets to a medical practitioner and that nothing has happened in the meantime. So the training is vital, And all teachers need to be trained, and all teachers need to know, you know, a strategy in their school as to who they're supposed to contact and what exactly they're supposed to do in any given situation. Because otherwise, you know, you could have unthinkable consequences coming from a condition like asthma, and no school wants that position. So we really, it is vital that even in the absence of other types of training, that teachers have training which ensures that their children have, you know, their health and well-being is at the centre of it.
Oh, very much so. And I know it's an awful thing for teachers to have to think about as well, but in this day and age, there's so many litigious society out there that you think, you know, somebody uses an EpiPen, they don't use it correctly or whatever, you know, will I get sued? And it must be a minefield for them.
It is an absolute minefield. I'm coming back to that. One of the first questions that will be asked is, has this teacher had the appropriate training? Because one thing worse than using the EpiPen is using the EpiPen without having the appropriate training. And then you've left teachers in a situation where if they don't have the appropriate training, there's that fear about moving forward. So it's vital that in order to support our children, that teachers need to be comfortable. And as I said earlier, it's only treatment in terms of the first point of contact. It's only what do I need to do to ensure that this child gets to the medical help, but we need to have teachers confident because, it's, as you say, it's stressful enough knowing the child in your class and keeping an eye and, you know, and making sure that you're doing everything you can to mitigate against risk, if you like. But it's vital that teachers know exactly what to do at that point to make sure that child gets the help that he or she needs.
Well, Jackie, thank you so much indeed for coming on and highlighting this today. And let's hope that the education authorities, the schools, the teachers, etc., can take this on board and feel not just you qualified, but comfortable in dealing with those situations so that it does have a better outcome than many have had in the past.